So let's get started from the beginning of the Perek. Perek Ein Omdin, which is on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and we're going to carry through to the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph tonight. Okay, so without further ado, let's begin the Perek at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Ein Omdin Lehispalel El Mitoch Kavod Rosh. A person should only get up to Davin from Kavod Rosh, from a certain seriousness, right? Kavod Rosh is a serious, Rashi says, Tachna'a. It means submissiveness. Okay, that's the approach one should have. We're going to see, as you keep in mind, we're going to catch a few different approaches to how to get into davening, which might, I think, what we want, the interesting discussion we're going to get tonight is these are different approaches to Avodas Hashem. So keep in mind, this is a certain submissiveness, a certain seriousness that you should come to davening with. Chassidim HaRishonim, how you show him Sha'achas, the early Chassidim, the righteous ones, would wait an hour before davening. They would arrive early, and then only after the hour they would start davening. So they would be properly able to focus their heart to Hashem. It took that amount of proper work. Meaning, you think we say that tefila is avoda shebelev, right? Is avoda shebelev haviyom tefila. Their avoda was even before davening started. They had the whole seder avoda of how to get into davening for an hour beforehand. Okay. Furthermore, the Mishnah continues. Afilu hamelech shol b'shlomo. Even if the king is asking, "How you doing? You talking to you?" Lo yishivendo, do not respond. Not reply. Afilu nachash korech alakvo. Even if the snake is wound on your heel, lo yafik. You should not stop your davening. Now, we are not going to clarify this tonight, but this obviously requires some clarification. Okay, I can see the look you're giving me. It does require some clarification, which my brother-in-law will do next week or the week after. I think it's Lamed Beis. I think we'll get there soon enough, which we'll discuss exactly what this part of the Mishnah means. Okay, the Gemara. So we're going to focus on the first half of this Mishnah about the approach one should take to getting into the mood of tefila. So the Gemara says, Minani Mili, how do you know you're supposed to come into the opening with Kavod Rosh, with a certain seriousness? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Kra, Vihi Maras Nefesh. She was of bitter spirit. This refers to Chana when she davened to have a child. She was had a certain bitterness. She was not certainly joyous. So the Gemara, that shows that a person should have that type of posture when they come to daven. The Gemara rejects that. It says, wait a second. Mimai, Dilma Chan is shiny. Maybe Chan is a different situation. To have this Riras Liba Tuva, that she was exceptionally bitter because she had no children. So she was just coming off a situation where she saw the co-wife who had just, who had 10 children. She was really someone who was exceptionally bitter at that time. So that's maybe not a good paradigm for us, necessarily, to how you come into davening, because her mindset wasn't a typical person's mindset. Okay, so Gemara says, Ella, Amr Biyosi Barbichanina, a different source, Mihacha, comes from the Pasuk from David Melch and Tehillim, Va'ani Berob Chasecha, and I, through, right, your abundant kindness, Avo Besecha, I will come to your house, Eshtacha Va'el Hecha Kachecha, I will bow down in your Hechal, in your holy place, Biyiratecha, with fear of you. So you see, when you come to the place of Avoda, you have to come with fear. Rashi writes the Yirasecha. So, Mimai, how do we know that this is the way everyone should come to davening? Dilma David Shaini. David HaMelech also is a hard person to follow because Dahavi Mitzar Nafshe Barach Metuva. Maybe he really pushed himself beyond the letter of the law to really have exceptional fear and piety in terms of his davening, to have exceptional rachmi. So maybe that's not for everyone. Okay. But okay, welcome to join us if you want the Gemara. That's Lamed Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says we have to get a different source. Ella Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Mehacha, Hishtachavu LaHashem Bahadras Kodesh. Bow down to Hashem Bahadras Kodesh in, I guess you would translate as with like a splendor, with a holy, with a Kadosh splendor. Hadar, right? So the Gemara explains. Al tikri bahadras ella bichardas. The letters of Okay, taking the words and changing up a little bit. The hey becomes a ches, the dal and the ratio becomes dyslexic. You turn them around a little bit. You go from hadar to chadar. To harad. That is a fear. So you should come to Hashem with a fear of Kodesh, with fearfulness. Yep. So now the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that we should be changing the simple understanding of the pasuk? Zilma la'olam emelacha, hajus mamish. You should come to Hashem with splendor. What does it mean you come to Hashem with splendor? I mean you have the splendor. That's why it was initially difficult. It means ki hazer Yehuda. Like Rabbi Yehuda would do, the have mitzayin nashe v'hadar matzah. He would be mitzayin himself, and then he would pray. What does it mean mitzayin atzmo? So Rashi explains mitzayin nashe mikashit atzmo v'gadol. He would dress with a proper fine clothing for davening, and with that mode of dress, that's why he would go ahead, and that from that he would come to daven. That's why people wear a special, jacket or tie or a belt or garter or something. Garter, yeah, sure, that too. Although Rosh Hashanah likes to tell the story, he said that he saw someone running to shul like a few minutes late, just coming real quick, and he got in. He was really late, so he just started daven. He realized, oh my gosh, he didn't have the garter because he was rushing. So the person quickly ripped the tie off his neck and put it around his waist. He looks ridiculous. The tie looks nice on the neck, not on the waist. The garter looks nice on the waist, not on the neck. So if you're going to dress nicely, I know the garter has other perhaps ideas about separating the leaves. But having a special malbush, the special malbush would be nicer to have the tie in the neck than the tie on the waist. That looks a bit ridiculous. You go in front of the king, you go in front of the president of the United States, wear a tie around your neck, don't wear it around your waist. If you have it on, yeah. The garter looks wear the garter. Okay, anyhow, just because you brought that up, I told the story. Okay, so anyhow. So mitzayin nafshe. Mitzayin is a certain, right? The way I would define it is distinguished, looking distinguished. Where else do we see that the idea of mitzayin means distinguished? So, So in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, right? My wife's grandfather, Rabbi Gross, likes to say when it says Vayusham Legoy, that the pasuk says Bnei Yisrael Hayusham, they were in Mitzrayim Legoy. Like a nation. Melamed, Shayim Mitzuyanim Sham. What do you mean they were Mitzuyan means like you were found there. It doesn't mean you're found there, it means they were distinguished there. If you saw a Jew, you knew what a Jew would look like. You're like, oh, that must be a Yid. That must be a Yid, the way that person's dressed. If you're going around in the Disney World and you see someone wearing long sleeve shirt, button downs with a baseball hat on, he's a from Jew, right? You know, a certain dress. If you know the woman's walking around with the skirt below the knees on the hot day with the below the elbows, that's a prom woman, right? You know how they are. They're mitzuyanim. They are distinguished in how we dress. You can know this how we are. The same type of approach. We come to davening, we come distinguished to davening. That's mitzuyan. Okay. Mitzayin afshe.
Many of the talk about the mode of dress is based on what's acceptable in the society.
But it's a
mode of dress that's still something that's acceptable. It has to be, it shouldn't be.
Let's say it this way. It's not the minimum standard.
Correct.
That's what you're going at. Okay. So Ella Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak of Nachman Yitzchak said, okay, got another pasuk. Ivdu es Hashem the Yira. Serve Hashem with Yira. Rashi says, Ivdu es Hashem the Yira. Rashi says, Tfila. Remember, in the Avodah, the Mikdash is that's the Avodah, you dress properly, you have proper fear of the place. So our Avodah is Tila. Therefore, Asu Oso Biyira, you have to do it fear. The end of the pasuk says, Vigilu Bira'ada, and rejoice with the fear, with the trepidation. So my Gilu Bira'ada, what does it mean to fear with trepidation? So Amar Bi'ada Barmasna, Amar Rabba, Bimakum Gila, Sham Tehera Aza. In a circumstance where there might otherwise be full rejoicing, temper it a little bit with some Ra'aza, with some trepidation. We'll develop this hopefully in the Gemara. I'm actually just about to dive into what this means, some examples of this situation, but we'll try and explain it. We're going to quote to the Tamei Rabbi Yon in a minute to help us understand it. Abayi Havi Yosef Tamei Duraba. Rabbi came in front of Rabba. Chazi Davika Badachduva. Rabba saw his Talmud Abaye, who was a little bit too happy, too frivolous. So Amar, he told Abaye, Gilu Bira Adaksiv. It says about, you know, got a little fear. Don't only be lighthearted. So Amar Le, no, on the Tilmanachna. I'm wearing Tilman. Okay, so what was the Rebbe's problem and what was Abaye's answer? You're too rejoicing too much? I'm wearing Tilman. So look at Rashi. Start with Rashi. Rashi says, Kabadach Tuva. He was like joking around too much. Rashi says, Yosher Midai. He was just like a little bit over the top joking around. What's the problem with that? Nira Kiporek, oh, it's like you're throwing the yoke of heaven off of you. If you're too much, you know, sort of silliness, whatever, it looks like you're not serious about the what your requirements are in this world, what you got to take care of, you have a job to do in this world. That's Kiporek O. What was the answer? Tfil Menachna. He says, I was wearing tefillin. What does that mean? As he was besimcha, he was saying, I'm also doing it at the time I'm wearing tefillin. And Rashi says, Vehaim, Edus. That the dominion of my king is upon me. So I'm not korek ol, I'm not through my whatever silliness or happiness he was going through, that joyous moment. He wasn't showing any lack of respect to his task at this point in this world because he was wearing tefillin, which is the sign that he has a God he's serving. Okay, that's right. And therefore, it's not a contradiction. Him being over the happy glass would be because he is still showing
he
that Hashem
can't be poor ego when you're table basketball.
Yeah, if you have the tilm on you, you're in good shape. What is that? Hamidi or Ben Yona have a slightly different explanation.
I understand it like you're putting filling your pator from being the
okay, I'll give you another example. So here's the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah. The Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah explains the Gilu Bira'ada. So what did he explain? It's like this. Tam Hadavar. This is the reason why you have to have some trepidation with Gila, with this joyousness. What's going to happen is if you get too much of the simcha, you can enjoy the liquor on the table a little bit too much. You can end up enjoying the food a little bit too much and end up forgetting the main purpose of why you're there, the simcha, which is to serve Hashem, which is to have a ruchnias opportunity. To take the simcha, to take the food and the drink, whatever's going on, the ball game, whatever's happening, jokes, whatever the situation is, and to elevate it, to use it properly. But if you go too far, there's a chance that you'll forget the main point. You may think the main point is just the joy, just the simcha. I'm gonna go for the next joyous thing that comes by my way, which might not be the right thing to do. Alkein tzarach la'arved ze'im ze. He says very beautifully, you have to then mix the simcha and the ra'ada, the gilu bira'ada together. That's why it's gilu bira'ada together. Why? Kidesha al kav hamamutza. So you can be on the golden, you hear the golden mean? You have to be on the golden mean, the shvil hazahav. You have to be balanced in life. Don't get too high, don't get too low. Don't be so fearful, don't be so besimcha. Balance it so that you always have the right opportunity to be in the right perspective to make sure, shelo yishkach inyani habore. You don't forget the inyani habore. So he explains later on, which is not going to be inside, but why is it that, therefore, Abaye, that was what he was worried about. So Rabba says to his Talmud, you're getting a little bit too far. Pull it back, because you might ultimately forget the main point of what you're supposed to be doing. And he answered him, no, I'm besimcha because I'm wearing tefillin now. I have not had the chance to wear tefillin for a few days. I guess he was sick, and he couldn't wear the tefillin because of the holy of intestinal problem. And I finally had the chance to wear my tefillin. What's my simcha? The source of my simcha is the mitzvah. The source of simcha is the mitzvah, boundless, because you're not going to come to forget what you're supposed to be doing. The simcha you're involved in is the mitzvah. That's why. Simcha shal mitzvah. Okay, continue. So, similar story. Rabbi Yirmiyah havik yasiv kamid Rav Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah was saying in front of Rav Zera, chazi davika badach tuva. Okay. Rav Zera saw that Rabbi Yirmiyah was, again, also having too much simple, too much silliness, too much happiness, too much joy. So Amar Leih, so Rav Zera says to Rav Yirmiyah, a pasuk, b'chol etzev yeh motar. With every sadness, there's going to be a profit, meaning there's something beneficial to being a little bit sadder than you're displaying right now. Like, tone it down a little bit. So Amar Leih said back to the same thing, on its film, and I'm wearing film. Okay, same answer. Now, just to explain this, we have these two different different opinions. We have two approaches. We have this happy people, and we have these people saying, tone it down. So the Chavis Yair says that Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yirmiyah particularly both represented two different pathways in Avodas Hashem. And let me take you a minute through a little bit of shot to show you their two approaches. Okay? So Rabbi Yirmiyah remembers the happy guy. Rabbi Zera says, the whole Esav Yeh Motar. There's a good idea to be a little sad. What do we see? Rabbi Zera was known to particularly subjugate himself to really, hurt his own body even, to achieve spiritual goals. What do we see? In the Gemara above Messia, it says, Rabbi Zera, he saw the Glaris Yisrael. When Zera got there, he saw Yosef Meata Anisa, he sat 100 fasts. Zilishka Gemara Bavavla, because he wanted to forget the Gemara Bavel. So he fasted 100 fasts, so he wouldn't mess up. Another situation, he fasted a second time 100 fasts, Zilo Nitirde, in order so that he shouldn't be bothered.
Right?
Zilo Lishko of Rabbi Lazar Bishnia. Bishnei, so that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon shouldn't die in his lifetime. He fasted 100 fasts because Rabbi Shimon, he took care of all the communal issues, the Beis Medrash. He was in charge of everything going on. So since he was in charge, Rabbi Zera was free to only learn. So he fasted 100 fasts, not to eat, in order to make sure that Rabbi Shimon would live and not die during his lifetime. And then finally, the Yosef Mea Achrizna, he fasted another 100 times. So Lishlote Nuhurot Gehenom. So that the fires of Gehenna would not fall on him. It says that every 30 days, Rabbi Zera would check himself to make sure that he was pure, he was in good shape. What would he do? He would stick himself in the oven when it's on to make sure he didn't get singed. And if he came out unsinged, he did fine. They say, you see here that the Amorayim have a greater level than even the level of the Rishonim, the Kadmonim. Avram, right, went to the Kivshan Eish. It was a big deal. Hanani, Mishael, the Azari went to the Kivshan Eish. It was a big deal. Rabbi Zera went to the Kivshan Eish every 30 days, nothing, and came out. Unbelievable, right? So, again, they were on a very high level, and to the point that the Rabbanim got jealous of him, and then he singed his legs, and they called him the short guy with the singed legs. All right, so that's the end of the Gemara. But the point is, we see Rabbi Zera was so stark on his body to make sure that he has the right mental attitude, the right approach. He wasn't concerned about Tanugei Olam HaZeh. He wasn't happy. He wasn't concerned about those things. Rabbi Yirmiyah was the opposite. Rabbi Yirmiyah was of that opinion that says if a person is, a Nazir, he's going to separate himself from the world, he's a Chote. That's why one of the Korbanos of the Nazir is a Korban Chatos. Because he's preventing himself from enjoying part of the world, which is mutter. Shouldn't do that. We see that in the Gemara Nida, it has a very interesting back and forth. So we have in our Gemara, Rabbi Zera poking at Rabbi Yirmiyah saying, hey, buddy, don't have too much fun. Tone it down a little bit. We have the opposite in the Gemara Nida. Gemara Nida says the following. Ba mine Rabbi Yirmiyah mir Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera the following question. Lir of Meir, according to the Shita of Meir, the Amar Behema Bemei Isha Vlad Balihu. The Meir had the Shita that if a woman has a fetus inside which has the shape and the form of an animal. Okay, it's obviously some kind of deformed uterine situation, right? Some obviously two chromosomes are off, something's off. And the fetus looks like some kind of animal, but it's considered to be a full fetus. And she would become Tamei, when this comes out, she'll become Tamei, the Allah will fall, like as if it was a regular fetus. It's not going to live very, not really going to live. So yes, what's the halacha in kibo be'avia kiddushin? If there's a person who gives kesef kiddushin to the father of this fetus and says, I want to marry this animal fetus of yours. And the father says, okay, no problem, I'll take the money. Great. The Gemara says, wait, Mahu, what's the question? I don't get I hear the story, I don't get the question. This is my nafkamina. You must know, Litsri Bachua Achosa. Would the person who's marrying the fetus become usher to the sister? Because you can't marry your wife's sister. So is he going, now he can't marry the sister of the fetus? That's the Yirmiyah's question to Zera. If you're smiling at this moment and you're wondering what in the world is this all about, you got the point. The Gemara says, this is obviously not the point of this whole thing. This is not why he did this. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov, Ad kan Yavir of Yirmi al Rav Zera. The only reason Rav Yirmi bar Zera brought this question to Rav Zera is Lidei Gichuch, to bring him to smile and laugh. I mean, they were in the middle of learning all these detailed halachos about the fetus, what's the halacha, if the fetus is the shape of an animal. So he wanted to bring him a question and ask him to have a little smile on his face. Guess what you think, Rabbi Zeir, how he responded? The logachis, and he did not smile. Rabbi Zeir did not smile. Rashi says, Lidei Gichuch, Tchok, he wants again to laugh. It says, "B'chol tachbulos halalu," all these different tricks. Asak Rav Yirmi alahavi Rav Zera deskoke. He tried to get Rav Zera to laugh, to be a little bit like, not so much on edge, not so sad, not so serious. So lo sachak, and he did not laugh. Why? The asur l'adam shemale tiv tok. We're going to read in our Gemara that person is not allowed to be full of laughter in this world. Rav Zera machmir tvei. Rav Zera was extra machmir. Wait a second. So the question they were showing them asked, I'm not going to put the Ritva inside. I'm looking at time. I won't quote the Ritva. The Ritva says, okay, 1 second. If the proper approach is that the Olam Hazir, and that's just the last, so why is there a Vizera tries to get him to last when he tries to get him to do a Nevera? And why is it that Rashi says that Vizera was Machmir Tzvei? He was extra stringent. Is he extra stringent or is he following the letter of the law? You're not supposed to be so laughing. Right? So what he explains is, Rabbi Yirmiya knew, first of all, Rabbi Yirmiya knew that there's no way the Tzius is coming out alive. There's no way he's going to become usher to the thing. It's only trying to get him to a little bit enjoy the learning. You know, when you're learning sometimes, if it's all serious, and you don't try and say, especially like to give stories in the middle of the shiur, just to like, you got to sprinkle, you got to lighten up a little bit. You got to sprinkle the shiur with a little bit of stuff where people can let their minds open up a little bit. So that's one of the things that he would try and do. And the Gemara refers to not being full of laughter with just regular things of the world. But we already saw, like the Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, that you're involved in a mitzvah, they were learning Torah. To have simcha in your Torah learning, that's not usher. But Rabbi Zeira was machmir tzvei. Rabbi Zeira, even in his Torah learning, even in his direct avodas Hashem, he was strict to even be so serious there as well. And therein was the debate between those two great Amorayim. Now, what we have, according to Chavos Ya'ir, we're good. Don't worry. The technology is here. I just want to give one thing. So the Chavos Ya'ir explains that these are two approaches in Avodat Hashem. They tell the story of, you know, the difference between the yeshiva of Slabodka, which is all about the godless ha'azim, how great man is, right? We should celebrate how a person's mind, a person's greatness, what they can achieve, the lofty heights. And Yeshiva Nevardik, used to feel the shifl to Adam, to how low a person is. You can't think you're so great. You have to work on yourself to break yourself down, to be serious, to be, you know, feel lowly. That's the way to approach Hashem. It's a different way to approach Avodas Hashem, from the high or from the low. Both are approaches. They say the story that a new Talmud came on the first day, his first day to Yeshiva of Nevardik. He walks inside this tremendous base medrash. He looks around at these Alta Bachrim, who are steiging away and look so serious, look light years ahead of where he is. He's like, he has like Chalisha Sadat. Oh my gosh, my first day, look at who my Chaverim are going to be. He sits down in the corner and he starts beating himself up. I'm nothing. I'm so not worthy of being here. I'm ridiculous. I shouldn't even be in the shiva. I should have gone back home. I can't believe I listened to my parents to come to shiva. I'm really not worthy. Meanwhile, next to him, the Chavrusa over there, next to him, sat, talked to each other and saw this little kid, comes in, starts beating himself up over himself, and they say, look at this gaiva, Baal gaiva over here. He's here for 1 hour and already thinks he's nothing. He already thinks he's nothing. He's been here only for 1 hour. You got to work on being nothing. That's the approach of the yeshiva of Nevardik. Okay, they both have roles in Avodas Hashem. But just to point out, there is a very well-known, if it's not well-known, it's worth reading, the Hakdam of the Iglei Tal, the Sacha Chava Rebbe, wrote this sefer called the Iglei Tal, which is about the Lamentos Melachos, the Shabbos, it's a serious sefer on discussing the Lamentos Melachos. But in his Hagdama, he says, some people say that when you learn Torah, you have to just focus on the Torah itself, don't enjoy it. Because if you're getting geshmak out of the learning, that's learning shelo lishma. Learning lishma is just for the Torah by itself. He says, that's a mistake. It's a tremendous error. If people get into learning, and do not come with a simcha of the mitzvah, they're totally missing the point. The ikra mitzvah limud haTorah liot sas sameach. The main purpose is to enjoy it.
Why can't you do that? Mitaneg.
You
need to hear.
The eyes of a Torah. Keep yourself on the mute.
Like this.
The eyes of a Torah. If Lo'im the Damo, then the Torah is going to be absorbed into him. The Acha Kenehen and the Divrei Torah.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
When you have enough from Torah, that's how you connect to it even more.
So how would you want it here or the whole thing? This space right here. So if I do, okay.
You need to use the full whole thing. Even the Tainug,
is a mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah of Lima Torah. Okay, that's the famous Hashama of the English. How?
Yeah. Well, what do they do? How do you do a cursive?
It's not a separate thing. Okay, Richie.
Can you just call me in? Yes.
Richie. Can you get for yourself a
lead?
Okay. Bye, sir. Let's continue. All right. That was the interesting.
You have 11 minutes.
No, okay, good. That was the side point. Yeah. Sidebar. Okay, here we go. Let's continue. The Gemara says. So. Amalei, no, here we go. Mar Bray de Ravina, Avad Hilul Le Bray, he made a wedding for his son. Chazin Hulu Rabban, he saw at the wedding that the young rabbis there, the young students, Tahavi Kibatsi Tuva, they were getting a little bit too joyous. So he did Icy Kasu, the Marike brought a white, Rashi says a white glass cup. Bas Arba Meazuze, with 400 Zuzim, a tremendous amount of money. Vitavar Kamayhu, and he broke it in front of them to make the mood more serious. The Asibu. And they got a little sadder, and they got a little more serious at the wedding.
What did he do?
He broke the cup. He broke the glass at the wedding. Yeah, so Rav Ashi Avadilu Lebrei, Rav Ashi also made a wedding for his Brei Tavar, Shavar. Lebrei, Chazinu Lerban, Zahavu Kabatsky, too. We saw some of the rabbis were becoming a little bit too joyous. So Icy Kisa de Zugisa Chiyurta, he also brought a white glass. Vitavar Kamai, and he broke in front of them. The Asivu, and they got a little bit sad. And Tosus points, fabulous. Ah, Tosus on the page. So it says, Mikan Nahagu Lashabir Zachukas Nisu. And that is the source of our custom today, that under the chuppah, right, before we sing Imish Kachech, we break a glass under the chuppah. It is not, the breaking of the glass itself is not Zecher Lechurban. It is not Zecher Lechurban breaking the glass. It is from this Gemara that we should tone down our simcha when we don't have a Beis Mikdash anymore. It's not specifically because we are a member of the broken Beis Mikdash, or that the glass shattered in the Beis Mikdash. It's that we cannot be fully besimcha nowadays, bechlal in general, because we are not yet in the right place. We don't have our Beis Mikdash in general. It's not zecher l'chorban. It's a tzotzah. It's a result of the fact we don't have it. It's how we have to approach this world, as we're about to see.
Is it a result of what?
It's the result of that we do not have a Beis Mikdash built. We cannot be fully besimcha. We'll see. We're going to explain. Hold that thought. We shouldn't be fully besimcha. We cannot be 100% sameach. We have to tone it down a little bit. So Amalei Rabbanan L'Rav Hanuna, Zuti. They said to Rav Hanuna, the small one, the Mar Brei D'Ravina, in the wedding of Mar Brei D'Ravina, Lishri Lanmar. They said to him, sing us something. So what do you think he's saying? So Amalei Lu, Vailan D'Misnan, Vailan D'Misnan. Woe unto us, we're going to die. Woe unto us, we're going to die. So again, to tone them down. So Amrile Anan Ma Nin Ebit Bashrech, what should we reply to your song? So Amrile, Hai Torah Vahai Mitzvah Dimangualach, Oi, where is the Torah? Where are the mitzvahs that are supposed to protect us? Where are our mitzvahs? Where are our Torah? We need protection from Gehenim. That's what they were singing in response.
Okay,
this is like the if you go to the Yeshiva Shayashiv has the well known that the song that the chassan walks down to and they sing is also it's like a dirge. It's a very slow, kind of sad type of tune. It goes with the Gemara that is what one at a wedding should kind of have it toned down a little bit. Not coming in like with like Led Zeppelin something over there, you know, or whatever, the Beatles. Not even that, going down the chuppah. Okay, fine, a little bit. Not even some chaline there going down the aisle. It should be something which is a little more serious. Okay, let's continue. So Amar Yochan, Mishra Mishra Bar Yochai, Asur L'Adam, Shemali Tzchok Piv, Olam Hazeh. A person cannot have full joy, full laughter in this world. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Az Yemali Tzchok Pinu, Ulishon Einirina. Only then, will our mouths be full of laughter? Ulishone nirina, and our tongue full of joy. Amasai, when is that us? When is that future time? That is, Bizman Shiomer Bagoyim, this is the rest of the pasuk. Higdil Hashem, La'asosim Elu Hashem, when the Goyim recognize how great things Hashem has done for us. Okay. Amru Lavar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish, they gave testimony about Rish Lakish. Shemiyamav lo malay chokpiv, his mouth was not full of joy. The olam has that in this world. Mechishama Rav Yochan Rabbe, when he heard this statement of Rav Yochan, remember this idea that one should not be with full laughter in this world. Once he heard it from his Rebbe, he no longer laughed in the same way with full joy in this world. So you see again this sort of tug of war between our emotions being the simcha, but being somewhat held into check in the right perspective. Okay, let's continue. Tudas. Tan Rabbanan. Let's get back to the main point of our Mishnah. Ein omdin lispalo lo mitoch din. You should not come up from a judgment to daven immediately. But lo mitoch dvar halacha, and not from a shir like this, the dvar halacha, learning of Torah. El lo mitoch halacha psuka. But if you're going to come from learning Torah, it's got to be coming from a halacha psuka, a simple, straightforward psak halacha. Hey Chidami, what's the example of halacha psuka? The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, ki hadr b'zera, like b'zera, damr b'zera, b'nos yisrael chmir al atman sha'afil roz tipas dam ki chardal, yosh v'selah shivas mekim. So this is a chumrah that the b'nos yisrael took upon themselves. Even if they saw one drop of dam nida, ki chardal, a tiny drop, they would sit on a shivas mekim. They had to have seven clean days. This is simply an example of a straightforward halacha psuka. There's no questions. Well, I just told you this idea that Benos Yisrael were machmer upon themselves to have sit shivin nekim with the tipas dam nida is something which has no back and forth discussion. It's straight. It's finished. This is the din. This is the idea. This is what they have to do. There's nothing to discuss about. Which means that when you go to daven, you're not going to have your mind put tumult with what you just learned. What was the Ramban? What was the Tosfos? What was this? What was the Svara? It's straightforward. It's psak halacha. There's nothing more to think about. At the end.
This
refers to coming into that kind of topic. Yeah, Shema Esrei, yeah. Now, right, we'll skip the details of what this is, but this is an extra chumrah on top of the regular chumras of even the chumrah of Yochanan with Nida and Yimei Ziva. We'll leave for another time. I have only a few minutes left. Okay. Rava says, Tihad Rav Yoshia, Amar Rav Yoshia, he gives another explanation. Dam Rav Yoshia, another halacha psuka. Me'arim adim al tivo. So a person can go ahead and do a little trickery when it comes to his grain. What can he do when it comes to truma maser? The halacha is, you cannot eat before when the grain, right, is finished in its preparation. Okay, when it's finished in its preparation, it has the status of tevel. The status of tevel means something which has not been metukan, has not been given trumas maaser from it. At that point in time, there is an iser to eat tevel. Iser to eat tevel. Okay? Once you've separated trumas maaser, then you can eat the food. Once you separate the truma for the kohen, the maaser for the levi, your maaser sheni, maaser rishon, then you can go ahead, the maaser ani, then you can go ahead and eat your tevel. But this is all true only once it becomes tevel. When you harvest it, it does not immediately have the status of tevel. Only once its processing, its preparation is complete in terms of its harvesting and gathering. Rashi explains it's when it comes to a point in time where it's called, when it's come ra'a p'nei abayis, when it has seen the house. And it's nigmar malach, it's finished its preparation, meaning, Rashi explains everywhere, where it's nimura, it's called nimura, ruach hakri, where the pile of the grain has been smooth. At that point, when you bring it to your house, once it's been smooth, outside in the field, and you bring it to your house, that's when it's chayav and tevel. You cannot eat it. You have to bring it to Trumas Maestros. So a person can do is, he can machnitsa, he can bring it to his house, bimotshila, while the grain still has, like the husk or the chaff, on the grain, which is not processed yet. Usually you take that off in the field, and then you put your pile of actual grain itself together. Why is that? Why are you doing that? Because now, even though you brought it to the house, it's not chayev in truma and maser, yet it is not yet tevel. And therefore, you're doing this kedeshete behemaso achela. You can have your animal eat from it immediately, even before you've given truma to the kohen and maser to the levi. Upatur Miyamaster at this point is no longer chayev in Trumas Lamaisra. A person is allowed to do that to feed his animal. For themselves, they cannot eat a substantial meal from this stuff, which is an Isra Darabanan. Midaraisa, a person, it's not devil. So a person can eat from the stuff in his house when it's been brought in this tricky way. But Midaraban, they asked it, they don't want you to do this. So for your animal, that's not a typical situation. Your animal, you can go ahead and you can feed them in this way. This is a halacha psuka, not for discussion. If a person goes ahead and he draws blood of an animal which is kachim, right? If you have an animal which is designated as a korban or designated as kedushas, a betek abayis, it's a kadosh for the Beit HaMikdash, and you draw blood from that animal, so that blood is also behana umolimbo. Just like you cannot have any benefit from the animal which is owned by the Beit HaMikdash, that's called mi'ila. You're chayv mi'ila for using the blood drawn from the animal. Now, why is that any chiddush? Because normally there's a principle which is ein moalim bedamim. The person is not obligated, is not prohibited from having any hana on the blood of a korban. What does that mean? Normally, if you shech the animal, you capture its blood, you put it into a bowl, you sprinkle on the zbeach. If you then take some of that blood and do something with it, your own purposes, you're not chayv mi'ila. You have not misappropriated its use. However, that is only true when you shechted the animal. Before you've shechted the animal and it's alive and you draw the blood out not through a process of shechita, but just through a bimakizam, just like drawing blood, that blood is chayev in the ilah and you will misappropriate it if you use it for your own purpose. That's the last example of a halacha psuka that there's nothing to talk about. So from that you can come to daf. Rabbanan Abdi Kimasnis. And the Rabbanan generally follow the approach of our Mishnah, which is the person should come to davening with a serious attitude, covered rosh. Ravashi offered Kibraisa, and Ravashi followed the Braisa. Either they say that means that the Braisa we just read, which is from Halacha Psuka, or the Braisa which we're about to read, which is that the person should come and we'll see, Mitoch Simcha. We'll get to that in a second. Okay, let's just get to the next Tirat. Tanu Rabbanan. A few minutes. I was told the Cholent's not coming, I'm sorry, until after Marv. So I have an extra 2 minutes of Cholent's up. Okay, fine. We're not excited about the Cholent tonight. The learning is more exciting than the Cholent. All right, the Cholent's coming, though. You get both. Especially tonight, after we learned, you have to temper everything. We have to temper. We're just working on our Midah. We're trying to work on our Midah of Gashmias by pushing the learning a little bit more tonight. Okay, so Tanu Rabbanan. Ein omdin lital lo mitoch atzvus v'lo mitoch atzlus. You should not come to daven from sadness or from laziness, lo mitoch kok, and from laughter, mitoch sicha, not from schmoozing, lo mitoch kalos rosh, from lightheadedness. Not from like, you know, silly talk, simple talk. You come to it from simcha of mitzvah, right? This is the opposite of kavod rosh. A person, when he's with his friends, like you're having lunch with a friend, the buddy, you should not separate from mitoch sicha, mitoch chok, not from like, silly, you know, laughter, lo mitoch kalos rosh, not from lightheartedness, lo mitoch dvar betalim, not from light chatter. You should leave each other with a Dvar Torah, something in Torah, when you're with your friend and you part ways. Shechem Atim and Nevi'im are shown, and we also find the Nevi'im, even though they gave sharp Musar to Bnei Israel, they always left it off with something nice, something uplifting, something to like inspire you. So you should leave your friend also, even though you might, whatever you're talking about, but leave off on a high note of Dvar Torah. We saw they finished with Dvar Shevach the Tachanunim, so you should leave with Dvar Torah. V'chein, Tanem, Mari Bar de Ravuna, Brei de Rav Yirmiya, Bar Abba, because if you leave your friend with the Dvar Halacha, Zochreyu, who remember you. What does that mean? Either it's because it'll be a more memorable separation, or it'll be because last thing I heard from Stephen was a nice word, so I'm going to come home and Shabbos table, I'm going to mention Stephen's name. I want to tell you the word I just heard from Stephen. And I'm going to come the next week, so I want to remind him. So I'm keep remembering my friend because I keep quoting him. I keep quoting that Dvar Torah, which he left me with, when I keep repeating it, because I know, oh yeah, that's Simi Dvar Torah they gave me. So that's how you Zochrei, you'll remember him. Ki Hadrav Tana, Ailuler of Simi Bar Abba, Mipum Nahara Ad Sinta Debavel. Rav Kana was escorting Rav Simi Bar Ashi from one place to another place called Sinta Debavel, the Palms of Bavel. Ki Matil Hasim, he got there, Amalei Mar, Vadej Amri Inshihani Sinisa Debavel, Aisumi Adam Arishon. These palms, they must have come from Adam Arishon. The Ad Hashem until now. These are like the original trees. Amalei Adkar and Milsa Rav Yossi Bar Bchanina. No, you remind me of something that Rav Yossi Bar Bchanina said. The Amr Rav Yossi Bar Bchanina, my dichtiv, the Eretz Asher Lo Avar Ba'ish V'Leishiv B'Sham Adam. The first Hashem is going to send you to a place where no man passed and no man has settled. he says, if no one's passed through the land, how? Of course no one settled the land. If no one came there, no one settled there. So what is the redundancy in the pasuk? Any place with Adam Rishon decreed that there should be a settlement there, there was a settlement. Where Adam Rishon did not say there should be a settlement here, Lo Nitzashva did not settle. And that's why these palms were the palms of Adam Rishon who said there should be a town here originally. Rav Mordechai Eluya, Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Mi Hagrunya Vad Bekipi, he escorted him from the Gregorian to Bekipi, Amri Ad Be Dura, until this place of Be Dura, meaning he escorted them properly along the way, talking to Ritor and as they passed. Okay, let's stop here. We'll pick up from these two dots next week. Yashikayach.